you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Greg Evenson is a former U.S. Secret Service special agent who served briefly before being cut due to budgetary reductions. He was subsequently appointed a Kansas State Trooper and ultimately received the Governor's Award for Heroism in 1975. He has also served as a Kansas Marshal. Greg is the author of America, Fall from Grace and Power and the Sovereignty Papers. He has completed two inspirational singing CDs, Hymns from the Heartland and After the Storm. Having recently completed his preparation manual, a DVD and workbook guide, he will be holding an infield training at Crystal Falls, Michigan this summer. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Greg Evenson. Is it Evenson or Evenson?
Well, I tell you, I answered it just about anything, but it is Evenson. My daddy would be happy. And I'll tell you, I am so grateful to be with you guys. I can't tell you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely our pleasure. As a matter of fact, you were on my, you were up there near the top of my list of people we wanted to get on the show because you've really made your mark, I have to tell you. You've got quite a resume. Tell us first, what exactly are the duties of a U.S. Secret Service special agent?
Well, I have to tell you, and I've dropped that from my resume. It was 36 years ago, and I was just appointed and then budget cut. So I really don't have a history there. But I will tell you that that's all I ever wanted to do. I got out of the military and said, hey, this is it. There are two functions. Basically, it is to investigate the counterfeiting of American securities and the money system. And it is also, more recently, within the last century and a half, also the protection of the President of the United States and various dignitaries appointed by the Secret Service to protect. So they're really very narrow in scope, but it is a long history of dedicated service by those folks.
You have watched the way police are trained change over the last 35 to 40 years. What would you say is the most different about our modern police from the kind of officers with whom you served so many years ago?
Sure. And as a metropolitan police officer in Kansas City and also as a state trooper, I can tell you that our community policing, to use the old term, our contact with the community in which we served, and we went to church with folks, we played softball with people, we went to funerals, we were together with the people. We were looking to protect them from the bad guys. It was that simple. We weren't out there to harass them because they believed a little bit differently or whatever it was. We were there for them. My oath that I took both in military and police simply said that I'll uphold the Constitution and not some guy's idea of today's law enforcement, but the Constitution of the state in which I lived in the United States. And we have gotten away from that. It's moved, frankly, more to a mission essential military mindset to be enveloped by the national effort to have national police officers. You lose touch with your local folks. You dance to a different drummer, and we lose the effect of what has been for many years, many generations, good, solid relations between the people and their law enforcement.
Now, how and when do you think that happened? I mean, because you were serving in the time of Nixon, so
yes.
You've really had a chance to see this. How does such a change happen? How do we get from what you described it used to be to what you just said is going on today?
Well, it certainly didn't occur overnight, and that's the first thing. And the incremental march up the field of conflict between the people that we served and their homes and their communities to what we have today was a slow but never ever changing move toward a higher level of policing. This, we're not talking about simple law enforcement methods to gain the apprehension of the people that needed to be apprehended and prosecuted. This is now an all-encompassing surveillance environment. It is a reporting environment, a report on your neighbors. It really, without overstating the case, I think you can just say that this is what happened in Germany in the 1920s and 30s up to the time of Hitler. You went from basically police officers who protected their folks from bad guys, like they've always done, to a surveillance and enforcement, almost mafia style. We're gonna bend your arms and legs until you tell us what you want. It's very adversarial, and I so hate that. Now, let me be quick to say that not every police officer in every community and every sheriff's office and every state trooper is like that, but there are an increasing number that march to the tune of the federal government, and it's done so because there is an agenda at the federal level that is containment. It is power. It is people control. When you hear about money and you hear about guns and you hear about whatever, it's all about controlling that. It is not working with it or looking for the people's rights to protest or to do with their money with what they wish or to own guns and do it for recreational as well as self-defense. It is a matter of controlling all of that, and they've done that very well. And they have a mechanism that is certainly many times greater than what they had during World War II and Nazi Germany and occupied Europe. We are an occupied continent by a philosophy and a mechanism that will be to our forever disappointment, and it is massive in its scope, and we've got to begin to change that.
It's like I'm listening to myself here. Some of the things you're saying are things I've been saying for so long, and I don't have your direct experience. Now, nothing in the federal government happens overnight, like you just said correctly. In the federal government, it generally is something that is planned over time. Do you have any idea? Can you pinpoint from whence this change was planned? In other words, was it from Nixon, or was it, who was after Nixon, Ford or Carter? Who was it under whose regime, okay, did this type of federal planning in changing the way the police are trained, did that happen?
I believe that it's all of the above, and we can go back much further. This goes back to the time, including and to some degree prior to that, but mostly from the time of Franklin Roosevelt forward. When the government made its big plunge into socialism and a move toward lockstepping all of the citizens of the United States into a federal citizenship and a federal mandate, we began to lose, again, incrementally, but very directly and steadily. It has never stopped. It has never been slowed down. I don't care. Name whatever president you want from that time forward. We could discuss the nuances prior to that. Woodrow Wilson was a horrible president in terms of his agenda and the 16th, 17th Amendment and all that. But we're talking about the implementation of massive amounts of federal interjection in law enforcement, especially through the FBI. Now, we can say, well, the FBI was fighting organized crime and so forth, and yeah, of course there's truth in that. But if for every positive step, there are two steps negative that take us to a place where we just simply cannot back up. We are not in a position unless there is a cohesive effort, coercive and cohesive effort by all of us to demand, starting at the local level, at our city councils, our county commissions, our state governments, and don't stop, don't quit. The best thing I can say about the Tea Parties at this point, and I'm generally in favor of them, no question about that, but is that they are beginning to get people off of their rear ends and out doing something that's going to count. I could argue about agendas and all that stuff, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just glad that people are working at it.
Yeah, and I got that. In a commentary you wrote last year for newsandviews.com, you wrote, "We have become eavesdropping, roadblock-setting, door-crashing, face-grinding, arm-breaking, pursuit-driven bastards that have sold their asses to the government masters hell-bent on establishing the true reincarnation of the dreaded SS. That is no overstatement." Do you really believe we are resurrecting the Nazi evil here in our midst?
Oh, I do. I truly do. And I realize it was a little bit crude. I apologize for that. But sometimes you have to say it the way it is.
Just a moment. Greg, you should never apologize for something if you really believe it to be true. Don't apologize for harsh words if harsh words are what's needed.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes you have to shock people just a little bit to snap them around and say, listen to me. I can't reach out and grab you around the throat, so I'm going to tell you in verbal terms. But the point is that, yes, I do. Not only is it actually going that direction, I have to tell you that for those that are students of history, we know very well that at the end of World War II, there was a concerted effort by the changing OSS to the CIA to recruit, to utilize, to use the systems, to use the methods, to use everything that they could possibly get away with at that time and do it in a clandestine effort, to do it very quietly, to do it under the covers, to back away in the shadows. The same exact setup and practices used and developed by not only the Wehrmacht and the SS and Gestapo, but also the intelligence agencies of Germany itself. So they had great playbooks to read, to copy, and to change the names and the language, and that's what we have today. And I'm telling you that is not an exaggeration.
No, it's not. You're speaking of Operation Paperclip, where they brought the Nazis all over, and they're still, they and their children are still working for the U.S. government. Something else that you wrote in your that same commentary with News and Views: there are significant numbers of officers at all levels that simply detest the force training at FEMA centers, the requirements to stop patriots and others simply because they look dangerous, and are exercising free speech statements on their vehicles. My question. That may be true, but will they refuse to comply with orders to take our guns away or to move us into those FEMA centers? That's the greater question. Will they?
Well, it sure is the greater question. It is, in fact, the ultimate question. And I am absolutely convinced that there will be a significant number of law enforcement and military that will say, not on my watch, not on my tour of duty, it's not going to happen. They're not going to come out and say that. They're not going to write that to the sergeant or the lieutenant or the commanding captain or whomever. They're simply going to do it quietly, and they're going to help people get through roadblocks. They'll help them not be apprehended in their homes, or they'll skip by some folks. Now they'll do that at some fairly significant peril because they will be watched. But they are saying, if I have to lose my job on that day, then that's the day I'll do it. Many have told me I'll turn my badge in ahead of time and go with my family and friends. I said, don't do that, please, if you can. If you can, I'm just saying, please consider staying where you are until you are fired, or until you just have not a moment more that you can continue to do your job. But we need you there to give the people in the field, the ones out there that are being responsible now but are preparing for whatever might happen, to give them a chance to coalesce and come together and stand together and say, not another centimeter.
Our very special guest today is Greg Evenson, former U.S. Secret Service Special Agent and Kansas State Trooper turned activist on behalf of truth, justice, and freedom. We have callers on the line. Let us go to Southern California. Welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Good morning, Brett. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning,
Jim,
sir.
Percy calling from California.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing? I had an opportunity to speak with Greg at a Pastor Butch Paw event, and I'm going to tell you, folks, this guy is real. This guy is one of the neatest people I've met in this movement, and it's nice to hear your voice, Greg.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that.
No problem. I was born in Michigan and raised in California, so that's probably one of the things that you and I have in common, that and that we are both seekers of liberty, you know. But
well,
it's
Jim,
great to hear your voice.
What it's come down to, Jim, is a simple matter of all of us working together. I'm sorry that you left Michigan. We could use you up here right now, but I'm sure you're doing well for the Patriots in California. They need you there, too. But thanks for that encouragement. It was good to see you out east.
All right, Jim, thank you.
Michigan has not left me, Greg.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that, and we appreciate that. And it's always good to hear from somebody who can actually come out and say hey, this guy's for real. I know who this guy is. I've met this guy. I've spoken to this guy. This guy's for real. Because I know a lot of you out there always question, oh, is this a plant? Is this an agent provocateur? Is this somebody who doesn't really mean what he says? Well, I'll tell you something. In my opinion, based upon what I know about him, Greg Evenson really is the real thing. We got another Southern California call. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with Greg Evenson.
Thank you, Brent, and hello, Greg. This is Lee calling in, and I just want you to know, Greg, that I have called for prayers, unending prayers for your safety and gratitude for the stand you are taking to help us in our country. Thank you so much. Y'all bless.
Well, thank you, Lee. I will tell you without any hesitation whatsoever, the prayers of believers and patriots and constitutionalists are what sustain all of us in this movement. Believe me, there's no amount of training, no amount of whatever that I might muster for the good of the cause that would come close to sustaining me and protecting me and others than just simply prayer. God has blessed us richly and put us in a time where we are here to make a difference. I just happen to be one of those folks, but we covet your prayers. And thank you for that, Lee. Don't quit.
Thanks so much, Lee. Really do appreciate that call. Thank you very much. If you'd like to get on board, the toll-free number here is 866-238-2120. That's 866-AFR-2120. Greg, tell us about your book, America, Fall from Grace and Power.
Actually, I will tell you that was a thought that came to me. I mean, I'm sure it was divinely inspired, that I wanted all of us in this great movement to realize that God is in the process of humbling us to the furthest extent that is possible. We haven't gotten it any other way, and because it is a fall from grace and power, because God granted us that when our founders and those along the way dedicated themselves, churches and pastors dedicated their life's work to making their people aware of freedom, freedom that God gives and freedom that our nation espoused. And we have walked away from that, many of us, including the church, not all churches, but many of them, certainly the organized, quote, close quote, church. And I'm so disappointed that we don't have more pastors that are willing to stand and be in this fight, but they're too worried about whether or not they're going to fill the pew on Friday, or Sunday, rather, and you know, you have the mega churches and so forth, and they're preaching the soft gospel that, you know, I just don't understand where they're coming from. They've lost their first love. They've lost the truth. They've lost the ability to convey to people that real freedom comes through spiritual freedom, and then you add the rest to it, and man, you've got a winning combination. I want to play on that ball team.
What you just said is my latest book, The Pursuit of Happiness, Freedom in the Human Spirit. The premise is you cannot be happy unless you are truly free, because your spirit cries out for freedom. Exactly the same thing you just said. You recently completed a preparation manual. Preparation for what?
Well, it's real simple, and let me preface just for a few seconds here to tell you that I've had so many calls. You know, I'm one of just a handful. I don't know why that is. I can't explain it, but I'm just one of a very few that travels and puts it out there and just says, look, I'm willing to come train you. What do you mean? Well, I train people about how to be defensive, how to protect themselves and their property and their families and their friends and their neighbors from encroachment, from the bad guys. I'll let you fill in the blanks. But we're not out here to wage a war, particularly. We're not here to cause trouble. We're here to say if you have the tools necessary to defend yourself and take care of yourself, and that's a wide range. I've got a list in front of me here of about 30 topics that we talk about at these infield training sessions. I'm going all over the country and into Canada. So it is a matter of we're doing that, but I couldn't get to all these places. So my wife said, you need to do a DVD. I said, no, I'm not doing a DVD. I said, people look at me and they're going to run. So she said, no, you need to do one because you can't get to all these places. So we put together a prep DVD.
We had an interesting comment out of our chat room suggesting the creation of a new political party, the POP Party, which stands for Pissed Off Party. And the idea is to vote out every incumbent. just to vote him out. If you're a Democrat, go ahead and vote Democrat, just not for the incumbent. If you're a Republican, go ahead and vote Republican, just not for the incumbent. Interesting concept. Just get all of those people who are violating our rights out of office. Would be nice. Greg, I have a final question for you, and I hope you'll take it as a serious question as intended to be. Do you believe there will be a second American Revolution in our lifetimes?
I do. I think it's underway as we speak. Revolutions come both in soft and hard terms. We are in the soft spot right now, not meaning that we're not committed, but that we are kind of like two people in the schoolyard, the bully and the victim. We're bumping chess, and who's going to push who down first? The government wants us to go that way. Please, patriots, constitutionalists, don't give them that. Don't light the fuse. Simply be there to stand for your rights and don't back up. What's coming, hopefully, will be something that we can all achieve with the least amount of desperation and desperate acts. But it's going to call for virtually a mental, emotional, and perhaps even physical revolution to throw off the tyranny, the evil, the occult power, the absolute sellout of corruption and treason in Washington. I don't think anything else is going to work. I hope to God Almighty I'm wrong. But if it takes that, then count me to be in the front line, dear friend, and I will be there because I believe that for my children and grandchildren, we must do this.
He sounds like me. You know what I mean? Doesn't he? He said, would you like to come be a guest host on the show, Greg?
I tell you, if I had the time, Brent, I would. I just don't. I'm sorry.
I know. I understand. It was hard enough to get you in on the show here because that's the thing about truth speakers. What I have found over the years, there are so few of us that when you go out there and you make truth and liberty your agenda, people flock to you. You suddenly find yourself very busy because there aren't enough of us out there. And so, Greg, please keep up everything you're doing. I'm so very, very impressed and grateful that you are out there on our behalf. Our guest has been Greg Evenson. If you'd like more information about all the various things he's doing, his book, America Fall from Grace and Power, also the Sovereignty Papers, his inspirational CDs, the preparation manual, information on the infield training coming up this summer, all of it, go to www.theheartlandusa.com. Theheartlandusa.com. Greg, thank you so much for spending this chunk of your valuable time with us and with our listeners. God bless you, and we really appreciate what you're doing on our behalf.
And thanks, Brent, to you. God bless you as well, and we'll meet again.
Thanks so much. Greg Evenson, and I'll tell you something, folks. It gives one hope to know that there is somebody of that integrity, of that caliber of character, acting on our behalf. It gives you hope for a better tomorrow for America. Greg Evenson, thanks again so much for being with us.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.